Well, we're going back to teaching on spiritual jurisdiction again today. Hallelujah. You know, this is a subject, you know, and I didn't decide to go back and teach it. The Lord told me to go back and teach this subject. I hadn't done it for years, and I've gone back into it, and it's been really good for me. I don't know how much it's been good for you. Maybe he's doing this for me. I don't know, but you can listen while I talk to me. And you can listen in. It has done wonders for me. Just going back over these things of, because there's a lot of foundational stuff in this teaching, in as we've been going along in it. If you don't get it, you won't go where you want to go. Last week we were teaching and we were looking at the jurisdiction of the Word of God. We did talk about the in the beginning about the son of the prodigal son and the brother who got upset at God. We had a little revelation there that God wanted you to get a hold of, and it's the fact of you can be in God's jurisdiction, but if you don't understand faith and how it works, you may not have the blessing. Even though you are in the jurisdiction to be blessed, you're not taking a hold of it yourself, waiting for somebody else to drop it on you. We don't wait for others to drop it on us. We operate by faith ourselves. And you know, everything, the Father, just like the Father said there, he told the Son, everything, what do you want me to give you, a calf? Everything I have belongs to you. Glory to God. I mean, that's God speaking to you today. Everything I have belongs to you. What are you waiting around for somebody else to bring it to you for? Hallelujah. Use your faith and take a hold of it. It belongs to you. And so we looked at the Word of God because really, if we're going to start off, there's one thing is knowing the specific will of God. There's things in our life, as I always say, it's like there's no way the Scriptures have told me to be a pastor out of here from heaven. There's nothing in the Scripture is going to tell you a lot of different things. The Scriptures lay out the basic guidelines of walking and following God, but you have to hear from God yourself on certain specifics of your life. But if you don't start off following the Word of God, there's no need for specifics. You have no need for them. Specifics if you're not going to follow the basis of the Word of God. To stay inside the jurisdictional lines of the Word of God's Word, if you follow it, it will keep you within God's jurisdiction. Everything that God calls you to do, you must measure it against what He talks about in His Word. You know, God's not going to turn around and start a new ministry gift. You know, we have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher in the church. Now, those ministries operate in the church world. God's not going to start a new ministry, a new kind of minister or preacher. If you're told, you say, well, God told me I'm going to be a such and such, which is not in the Scriptures, you're not going to be that. Because it lays out what they are. You know, because there's people have come along, and you know, they've tried things and done things and said things and got all messed up. And over the years, there are ministers who really God used very powerfully over the years who died prematurely because they got out and thought they were something that the Bible didn't say they were. And they got over to think that they were something special and had a special ministry way outside of somebody else, you know. And you don't want to go there. Follow in line with the Word. Because that's what will keep you going. We looked at last week from Deuteronomy 28 that God told Israel that if they did diligently, they listened to the voice of the Lord their God, if they listened, they did all that the word, that the law that was commanded to them, it told them that then the blessing, they would have the blessing of God. God told Joshua to meditate on the Word day and night, to do all that's in it. Do what the Word says. He said, then you'll prosper and you'll have good success. Prosperity doesn't depend as much on God as it does you. God already established He wants to prosper you. That's laid out. He wants to do that. Whether or not I prosper is whether I walk in line with the Word of God. I follow the Word of God. So staying over in God's jurisdiction so He can bless you, you've got to walk there. We looked at the book of James, where James just really told us, he said, therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted Word that's able to save your soul. He's talking the saving of the soul is your mind, the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs renewed. You need to have your mind renewed, like it says in Romans, to renew your mind. Why? So you can know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's why you want your mind changed. See, so James told him to put aside this other stuff. He said, but be what? Doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. A person who hears what the Word says to do and doesn't do it is self-deceived. They are not deceived by the devil. If you know what to do and don't do it, the Bible says is this, it's sin. To know to do good and do it not, it is sin. If you know what the will of God is according to the Word and you don't do it, it's a sin. Let's face it. You know, we can sit around and jumble all kinds of things and say all kinds of stuff, but it's the way that it operates. In other words, to walk in line with the Word of God is to keep you out of sin. You know, this. A lot of people are trying to stay out of sin. One of the easiest ways you ever stay out of sin is follow the Bible. Follow the Word, you'll stay out of sin. It's not some huge, big, you know, everybody puts it out there as some wow, weird thing. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who observes himself, his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away immediately, forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's where I want to be. Blessed in what I do. I have been in the place where doing what was wrong and didn't get blessed. Have you ever been there? Have you ever done what's wrong and you didn't get blessed? Well, we've been there. I like that part. Do what it says and get blessed. Everybody today wants the blessing, but many don't want to be the doing. We don't want to be the doing. I found out I got to learn to be the doing. We want to go over there and be the why? Because I don't know about you, I like the blessing. Jesus said this in John 13, 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know stuff, if you know that God reveals things to you, you're blessed if you do them. Now, I want to look at something today. We're going to look at another area, and it's God's will and man's will. We're going to talk around probably one of the most important subjects of the Bible and one of the most little known and understood by people. This is where a lot of problems arise. This is where a lot of things over the years, religion has really given wrong ideas to people about God and His operation. If we're going to stay within the lines of jurisdiction, we need to understand the difference between the will of God and the will of man. And, because the idea is whatever God wants, He's going to have. Well, that's surely not true. The world would not exist today, and if its form and what is going on today would not even exist if God's perfect will was carried out. And if God could just do anything He wanted, we wouldn't be here, folks. We wouldn't be in this mess today. It wouldn't be here. But we want to look at some things, just some general basic things concerning the will of God. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, we want to go there, and we want to look at something here concerning the will of God, and we can look at God's plan and God's purpose. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 3, verses 1 and 2 talk about praying for leaders, and it talks about praying for those who are in authority. And then, but he says this, now listen what he says, he makes this statement, he says, for this is good, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He's talking about praying for leaders. And then it tells us now, it's going to tell us the desire, or we could say the will of God, who desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. God's desire, or the will of God for humanity is for everyone to be saved. You know, Paul writing in the church at Thessalonica, he said, you guys pray for me because of these. There's people out here that are wicked and evil people. He said, not everybody has faith. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Today, we're dealing with wicked and evil people out here in this world. Wickedness and evil is running absolutely rampant. And we need to understand that it's not the will of God. It's not God's will. You know, these people, well, God has this going for a purpose, or this is happening for... No, it's not. God's will is that every man, woman, and child would be saved. That's his will. That's what He wants. That's the will of God. I mean, my God, it took me 30 years to get into the will of God just to get born again. Much less anything else into the will of God. My words, He's patient and kind, isn't He? He's patient and kind. He waited on me for 30 years to get into it. Well, my words. Hallelujah, He must be good. And He's waited for me to get in line with certain things concerning His will for a number of years too. He's been patient and He's been kind. He has, but understand, God's will or desire will never change. I don't care what you do. It doesn't change. The gifts and calling of God are out without repentance. God has a will, whether it ever gets to take place or not. He doesn't change His will of what He wants. He's not changed His will. If a person denounces God and dies and goes to hell, God's will for that man had never changed. It never changed at all. His desire and will is always that person would be saved. What you're doing or what you do doesn't change his will, but it does change what he can do. You need to understand that. Our will does determine what he can do. It has to. Look at the world, unsaved. Can God carry out what he wants to? Can God bless humanity like he wants to? Well, no, he can't. His desire is to bless. You know, it's just like we have from salvation standpoint, Ephesians says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's God's plan for the whole world. It wasn't just for you or for me. It's for everybody if people will come into the plan of God, that they'd be blessed with every spiritual blessing. They'd have all the goodness of God. You know, that they all become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the goodness of the salvation of God. Now, you know, thank God for being born again, because inborn again is all the blessing of God for you to be able to live in this earth and be blessed here. And that blessing, you know, change things around you. That's its purpose. God wants to do that. So when we're looking at this blessing of God, that was God's plan for man. In 2 Peter, in the third chapter, 2 Peter in the third chapter, in verse 9, it said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Did you hear that? The Lord is not slack. Well, this is one thing you need to understand. God is never slack. I have been slack already. Have you ever been slack? Hallelujah. Lord God, forgive us for our slackness sometimes. Hallelujah. We've all been there. We've all been. But listen to this. Now, we need the will of God. So God is never slack, what? Concerning his promise, what he said he would do. He's never been slack. See, this is why people say, well, God's will is always carried out. That's the dumbest thing in the world anybody could ever say. God's promise is in his word. He's never been slack. He's never been slack about them at all. He says, as some count slackness. But what has he been? He's been long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know why God has been waiting so long for humanity? It's because of his will. He is just waiting for people to come in and get blessed. He's waiting for people to join in his salvation. He's willing and let people go and go, and they've gotten worse and worse. And sometimes people, well, why does he let people keep doing this? God's heart to reach people is much greater than your heart or what you're worried about, your discomfort. His heart that people wouldn't go to hell. See, the church has lost this. Now, understand, God wants us blessed, but we have lost what really God's heart is concerning reaching people going to hell. Most of the church world don't even care much if people go to hell or not. The people around them who belong to hell, we're mad at most of the time because they discomfort us. Good preaching, Ed. You know, I wish they'd strap up. God has been long-suffering, waiting, giving people opportunity after opportunity. You need to understand this. Most of what you and I get is because of his patience. Because he's long-suffering. While we're not long-suffering, he is. And we think lots of times we get blessed because we've done good. Lots of times our good doesn't meet up to the standard. But yet, he's long-suffering. The Old Testament talks about the people, after a while, don't fear the judgment of God because he's so long-suffering, and he doesn't do anything about certain things for a long time, so they think they're getting away with it. Oh, yeah. Christians do that all the time. Christians come along and don't remember the things that they've done and done and done and done and got away with for years and years, and all of a sudden the brick falls out of the sky on their head, and they say, I don't understand why this happened to me. Why? Because they thought that because for 20 years they were getting away with it, that one day they weren't going to have reap what they sowed. They thought it was never going to happen. And so they thought, everything's all right, I can just go ahead. And when it happens, they have no clue why it happened. They have no clue. See, eventually everything comes to roost. You know, eventually, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost at night. You know, that's going to happen. And we need to understand that. But God's willing, he says, he's long-suffering to us. God is not willing that anybody should perish. In other words, there is no individual who's lost and has gone to hell that had anything to do with the will of God. God's will was Jesus died, took the sin of the world. He didn't take your sin the day you got saved. That's why the church got to get over this wrong doctrine and wrong teaching. It's like Jesus is going to forgive you the day you got saved. Your sin, in the mind of God, of all humanity, was removed on the day that Jesus Christ took it on the cross, died, went to hell, paid the price. You don't get the price paid for your sin the day you got saved. That doesn't happen. That is already an existent thing. That's why Paul told the church at Corinth, when you tell you preach to the sinners, you're supposed to be telling them God's not holding their sin against them. That's exactly the opposite that the church preaches and calls it the gospel, and it's not the gospel at all. They're preaching that you got to get that sin thing straightened out with God, then he'll save you. No, God straightened out the sin thing. Come on, he'll save you. Hallelujah. That's the good news. They don't preach a good news gospel. They preach an Old Testament gospel. God will like you if you get straightened out. God likes you whether you got straightened out. God hates no one that's going off to hell. Nobody went to hell because of their sin. They go to hell because they haven't received Christ. God's willingness. See, that's the willingness of God. Man, if you ever understand how much God loved you as a sinner, your faith would increase big right now. Most Christians ain't got a clue how much God loves them. I mean, you just look at what you were as a sinner of God's love for you and what he did and his willingness to save. Man, I'm going to tell you what, as you're a saint, you accepted it? My words. Woo! We ought to be inspired to believe. We shouldn't be struggling at believing God. We shouldn't be struggling at those things. Why? Because it's God's will. So we have this will of God, but we don't see this will operating within men because not everybody's saved, is it? Not everyone. And so, thank God for everybody who does. But we see what the will of God is. This is God's will for mankind. This is God's love. This is what God has set himself to do. He wants to save humanity. And I want to go over, because I want to look at a couple examples. I want to read from John the 5th chapter. In John the 5th chapter, I want to read a circumstance. I want to see you concerning Jesus in ministry, because I want to see Jesus ministering. And understand this, when you read the Gospels, when you're reading the Gospels and you read about Jesus, you need to understand Jesus is operating as a man. He's not operating as God. He's operating and ministering as a man. Now, he's doing the will of God. He said he didn't say anything that the Father didn't say. He didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father do. He's operating as a man. And so he has a will. He has a will to do. Now, I want you to see something here concerning the healing of the man at the sheep gate at the pool. I want you to see something here concerning Jesus' ministry, this man. Jesus goes there. It says, in verse 2, it says, Now there is in Jerusalem, he said, the sheep gate pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, and he knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to the man, "Do you want to be made well?" Now I want you to see this, and you need to get a hold of this, because we're looking at, we know at God's will, when we talk about salvation, the word salvation, most of the church world uses the idea of, you know, salvation, whether it is forgiveness of sin. You know, some believe in being born again. You know, there's loads of church people don't believe in the born again message. They don't even like to hear it. I've had people I've even had ministers tell me they don't like to hear the born again stuff. They don't like it. But understand, we mostly have thought about when the Bible's talking about salvation. We need to understand salvation encapsulates all of the will of God. Salvation encapsulates everything that God wants to, has set forth to do for man. Once man, was in this state now where he is born again and his nature has become like God. Everything that God has belongs to that person now. So we need to know this. So when we talk about in this life healing and all those kind of things, that all is encapsulated. All your needs supplied. God's care and protection for you, spirit, soul, and body, is encapsulated in salvation. That's what it is. It's all inclusive. It's not, healing is not a separate part from salvation. You know, prosperity is not separated from it. Sound mind is not separated another subject of salvation. It is what salvation is. Salvation means whole and well, spirit, soul, and body. You know, the way God wants man to be. And now we're going to have a full salvation one day. Understand this. We don't have all of our salvation yet. So salvation couldn't be just this forgiveness of things, sin things people talk about. Because we're going to have one day a full salvation. You and I are going to get a new body. We're going to get a body that's like Jesus. It's going to be a glorified body. Wow, that's going to be a knockout. That is going to be something else. This is why I can't understand that Christianity today and churches aren't excited about Jesus coming back. Because, man, to me, this excites me. Ed gets the whole thing fixed now. Oh, glory to God. We finally get the whole thing. I get this dumb flesh off of me and get a good one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's exciting. I'm not interested in how long I can stay here. All these people are using their faith to stay here a long time and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Dear God, let's get the new suit. Your salvation ain't going to be complete till you get it. And so we're looking for that. We're looking for completion. But I want you to see this. Jesus comes down to this man. This guy's laying there in a pool. Now, in this pool, they told us how the system works. Can you imagine this? If God did this today, most of the church world would say it's the devil. They wouldn't know. They wouldn't have a clue. Was God or not? An angel would come down and stir up the water. You think God could do something like that today? Well, if you do, I'm going to tell you what. You're probably a small few in the church world. But if somebody, whoever got in it first, would get healed. Now, you think about this thing going on down there. Now, you know what? You're going to find this out. Here's how the Jews were so messed up. This is a Sabbath day. Why would be people laying around the pool getting healed if God's working like the Pharisees? Because the Pharisees don't like people being healed on the Sabbath, yet sick people are waiting by down there. Stupid God don't know he'll heal on the Sabbath. God don't know. God steps over all the stupidity of humanity and the crazy things that they do. God will step right over top of it. He ain't interested. But listen what does. Now this event's going on. This man has been there. He's been lame all these years. He's been to 38 years. He has this infirmity. He can't work. And when Jesus comes up to him, Jesus says this to him, do you want to be healed? Now you think that would be an obvious because he's there at the pool. He's there at that place. But you need to understand this. Why is Jesus doing this? Jesus wants to know the man's will. Jesus is not going to override his will. Well, you said his error. He wants healed. Oh, hold it. You wouldn't believe what people do to lame people and stuff else that they, you know, I've watched people, and I knew this, that they've had people that were sick and things that they wanted to bring to a church, to a healing meeting. They brought the person, but the person didn't really want to be there. They didn't really want to go to that. He could just been hauled there, laid there. Now, just think about that. They took him and laid him there, but he has no way to get to the water. Because this is what he says. Now, Jesus asks him the question, do you want to be well? In other words, Jesus wants to know what his will is. It doesn't matter what Jesus wants. It doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter if God wants salvation for all men if man doesn't cooperate with that salvation. If he doesn't cooperate with that plan, no matter how much God wants him to have that or wants you to have that, God doesn't override your will. He wouldn't override this man's will. Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. So I can say this to you today. God's interested in your will. The most powerful force that operates in this world today is your will. Oh, I thought it was God's power. I thought, no matter how powerful God's power is, it's sort of like, you know, plastic explosives. They call it, you hear C4. There's different kinds. They make different ones of them today. Different kind of explosives. You can take C4, And I don't care how powerful that stuff is. You can take it, throw it against the wall. You can do stuff with it, do anything. Take a car, run over it. That stuff won't go off. I don't matter how much power is in that thing. That has to. It takes an electrical energy to release that power in that thing, or it won't go. See, it don't matter how powerful or big God is. In the earth, the biggest power in the earth is man. Man is the switch that causes God's power to blow up. Man is the switch. And this is one of the things that we put it to. We always deal with people in the areas of faith. Many people's problems, their will. It's their will. It's their will. Jesus didn't say, ask this guy if he had faith to be healed. He wanted to know if this guy really wanted to be healed or not. Now, over the years, I know this is true. I've had people sit in church. I've had people come about prayer for different things. And when I talked to them later on about some of the things, I found out they really weren't interested in getting delivered or healed from their thing that they did. They go through those motions because they just follow some religious motions. We got to act like we want delivered. I had a woman one time who came from ministry in the areas, wanted deliverance from these areas smoking. They smoked and they wanted delivered from it. And so some people came and she came up for deliverance. And I laid hands on her. When my hand touched her, I just knew this was all the things she was putting on here. She didn't want to be delivered. I just stopped and talked to her quietly. Nobody else could hear. And I said, do you really want to quit smoking cigarettes? And she said, well, I really like to smoke. I said, you don't really want to quit, do you? Well, no. I said, go sit down. Ain't no good. Ain't no use. Why? Her will's not. What she wants, well, if it doesn't, if I, without my will, you know, let's make this thing happen, but I'm not in it. Jesus was interested to know that if this man, his will is in it. So the man gives Jesus the explanation. The sick man, verse 7 says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. I want you to show this. Jesus found out he explained what he's doing. I am trying to get the will of God that I understand and know. And that's when the angel stirs this up. I'm trying to get down there. Jesus wouldn't have worked or ministered to this man had his will not been in it. He's not going to push something off on somebody. You know, God made me do it. Get over it. God didn't make nobody do nothing. God didn't make Ed get saved. I came to a day that I had to submit my will to the will of God to be saved. I had to go there. This man was asked, Do you want to be made well? Now, I want you to go over to Mark because I want to look at another area in the areas of Mark. We're talking about will. How powerful your will is, because your will is what set things off. You and I, there can be different reasons. You know, sometimes there's people are facing situations and things aren't changing because they don't understand how to walk by faith. Some people understand and believe the word of God concerning faith, but they're not doing what the word says. Then on the other hand, some people, they haven't set their will with God. If you don't set your will with God, I don't care if you believe the word's true and you're doing things, it still will not work for you till you set your will. You got to set your will to do God. Now, you might think, well, somebody said, well, the will of God, I'm doing what God said. Doing what God said don't mean you will. I want you to go to Mark 10. And here's an incident down in Jericho. Again, there's others we could look at, but I'm just taking... These are more well-known things in the Scriptures, and so we can use this. In verse 46, it says, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, he says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. Then they called to the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, don't that seem like a dumb question? You know, we should ask more what people would consider a dumb question. Loads of people don't get what they want from God because they think the question was stupid and they don't realize they've been stupid. Because they don't understand what's going on, nor do they know. They are not in line with the will of God. They have not submitted to the will of God, and they're trying to get something without being submitted to that will. Number one, through the will of, we find through this question, we find where this man's faith really is. Said the blind man said to him, Rabboni, he said, which is the word just rabbi, that I may receive my sight. He says, what do you want me to do? What do you want? He wants to find out where's it. What do you want? What's your will? What's your will? People can have. It's like I told you. I mean, I minister. A woman came to me one time. This is a long time ago, many years ago. Came to me. She had multiple sclerosis. And she was, walking, and sometimes she used canes and sometimes like maybe in crutches and she used. And she came to me and she wanted me to lay hands on her and pray for her for healing. And when I was going to pray for her for healing, she said this to me. She said, I don't want to be completely healed because I want to stay on disability. I don't want to go back to work. Well, I told her, I just said, stay sick and die, whatever you want to do, go ahead, but I will not lay hands on you. Why? Her will wasn't to be healed. Her will was outside of the will of God. She don't want to do God's will and be well and have to do the will of God. She wants to be lazy and sit at home. See, that's why you can't always come along with me and tell me, this is why so many people are deceived. They think because they see somebody out here having problems that they, oh man, we could just go fix that problem. And they wonder, why don't this stuff work? Why don't things work? Well, if you'd ask people some questions, you'd find out. Instead of going just playing mama all the time and trying to fix everybody's stuff, start asking them some questions. You'd find out you won't waste your time many times doing so many things for people. This is one thing is why you need the anointing. The anointing will help you know things, especially the spirit of seeing and knowing. Man, the church needs that one. Woo! My God. There's all kinds of things by the gifts of seeing and knowing. I know things and I know why their purposes and what's going on and what's happening. I know because of that. I don't know because I'm smart. Because you can't know. You can't find the things out. By the anointing of God, you begin to see things and understand things. That's why you want to walk under the anointing. This guy told him, what do you want? I want to receive my sight. See, in other words, his will was involved in this thing. It was his will. What do you want out of this? You know, everybody thinks it just seems so obvious. No, he got to get this guy to submit his will. By his voice, he submits his will. He submits his will to what he wants and what he wants to have. You know, I know Kenneth Hagin told the story about a woman who came and she was blind, couldn't see. And he said she came up to be prayed for. And he said he laid hands on her and prayed for her, and her eyes were instantly opened and she could see. But she had rheumatoid arthritis and couldn't hardly walk, and she turned around and leave. He said, why don't you come back here? Why don't we pray for that arthritis and get you healed of that too? She said, oh, I can put up with the arthritis. I just want to be able to see. Now you think that sounds stupid. Folks, loads and loads of people are like that, sitting in the church pews playing Christian. Sitting in churches talking about faith. Folks, it's out here. People don't get their minds renewed, and some people never get their minds renewed. They don't ever get their minds renewed. I can put up with this. You know, whatever you're willing to put up with, the devil's going to give you more than you can put up with. Once you're willing to put up with it, he's going to add. That's why you don't want to be willing to. If God's not willing to put up with it and has through his grace and mercy for you, wants to deliver you from it, it's a good thing to cooperate with the will of God instead of your will. So her will was to keep that rheumatoid arthritis, and she kept it. She kept it. God's not going to deliver her from it. God's not going to say, well, I'm going to heal you. I don't care what. Ah. You're going to get it anyhow. See, if I find out God does that, him and I are going to have a big talk of why then he don't save everybody. Why you just go to this one person, you let them have it, you don't let the rest of the guys. Hey, I want to know. See, a lot of people don't get what goes on out here. We need to understand, we're really dealing with a lot of will problem today. Today there's a lot of will. There's a lot today because we live in a self-willed society. And I'm sorry, the church is full of it too, because people have been raised in, from even from the church world, have been raised in this self-will. You know, the idea that I call the shots for my life and what I want. God is there to cooperate with me for what I want. I choose a way to live. I choose certain things. And I just, God, you know, when I need money, you give me money to do what I'm doing. And you just, and people are living over in this area. Especially they're submitting our will. Understand, the power of our will is incredible. Our power of our own human will is an incredible thing, because the power of our will either allows heaven or hell to do what it wants to do. Hell can keep you bound while you're saying, I know what the Scripture says, and I'm doing what the Scripture says. You know, I want you to hear that Kenneth Hagin got a revelation from God. I don't know if we have any more of those little mini books back there or not, but there's a mini book, what God taught Brother Hagin about finances, of how to deal with your finances and how to believe God for money. That revelation came to him, but he didn't get that revelation until he got his will in line with God. This is what happened to him. And then God gave him a revelation. But he couldn't get that revelation until he submitted his will to God. Kenneth Hagin was pastoring churches. And so God called him out of the church. God told him and called him out into a field ministry and told him to go out to field ministry, leave the churches. He didn't really, he went out in the field ministry, and going out in the field ministry, everything started going under. He lost finances and stuff and things that were just going down the tubes. He was borrowing money to try to just to get meagerly get by with his family. And he said his family was even neglecting for the food that they needed to eat and stuff. And he said things were really, very, very, very hard. And he said he wore his car out. He had to sell it for junk and didn't have a car. He was taking buses to go to the places where he would go to minister. He was going and getting the buses. Now, the whole time, now understand Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin, he has scriptures he's standing on. He's, believe it, he's a giver. The man's a giver. He tithes, gives offerings. He's doing all the things that the Bible says to do. Yet he's going further, further down. And he's going further and further down. But the key to why he was going further, further down, he went to God one day, specifically about this, to pray. And he went and he told the Lord, he said, Lord, your word says this, if I'm willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. He said, I've obeyed and done everything you've told me to do, and I am not eating the good of the land. And the Lord said to him, now he hadn't heard the Lord talk to him about it up till he came with this scripture. And the Lord said to him, you don't qualify. He said, what? He said, you don't qualify. He said, the word says if you're willing and obedient, he said, you've obeyed me, but you've never been willing. He said, you've never wanted to do this. They hit home with somebody? You need to understand this. There's been a lot of wrong teaching in this life. There's been a lot of wrong teaching. A lot of people, and I've heard many ministers, they teach if you just do it, you'll get it. No, you've got to be willing to do it. He told him, you can't have my blessing. You've never been willing. He said, don't take it wrong to get willing. He said, in 10 seconds, I was willing to do the will of God. You need to understand this. It isn't a matter of you doing something. You got to be willing. I've heard people and I've heard ministers say this. Well, the Bible says tithe, so you give whether you like it or not. You better start liking it. If you don't like it, you're not willing. Don't expect God to bless you. You better get liking it. I like it. Hallelujah. I refuse to say anything. I'll tell you, when it was hard for Wanda and I to do anything about giving, I'll tell you what, I would never say, I am willing to do it. I want to do it. I will do the will of God before anything else. If I have to miss a meal, tough. I am willing to do the will of God. And I found out you never miss a meal. I know a lot of people have their problems because they're never willing. They do it. I remember one minister of church I was in,
They used to always talk about, well, the Bible says walk in love, and you walk in love people, whether you like it or not, you do this. You know, you just, I think, that's the stupidest thing in the world. You know, you can do what's right for a person, but if you weren't willing to do what's right, you didn't want to. You just did it as a slave because the master might beat you. That ain't why we do it. We want to be willing. I want to be willing to walk in love with people. I want to be willing to do that. I don't want to do it just because some law said so. And this is what most of Christianity today, people who don't believe in law and when it comes to the church are usually the people with the least will into following God. Because they determine, you know, that, well, the law, you don't have to do this. The law says blah, 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 blah. You need to say, we got to become willing. And this is a huge thing for you. Because, you know, I found out this willing thing, why? You know, I found myself, especially starting off a Christian, I'd fight over this will thing, you know, myself. But the whole thing of it is over this will thing, this is, man, when you start to understand how this thing works, it's like, can you understand why Jesus in the garden said to the Father? Now, see, we see him humbling himself. He's a man. You know, he goes to the garden. He says, God, I don't like what's going on, but you know what? I want your will instead of my will. I don't like this. What's going to happen here? I don't want to go through this, but I want your will. See, we got to come to the place where we come to an understanding. We don't know much about this. I would say this, probably 50 years ago and longer, more people understood about this will thing, and people submitted their wills much more easy than they do today. But our society, we've been taught to be, you know, you're in charge, and you get to have what you want, and if you don't like something, you know, you just do whatever. And we've had these things, and people think that all that stuff works, and they wonder, where is God? Well, where is God? God can't show up and God can't do because there is no electricity to set off the charge of God. See, Brother Hagin believed that the scripture was true and it was right. He had faith in that thing. God never told him he had to get in faith with it. He told him, your problem is your will. Is your will. Man, I've had that trouble. I've had trouble with my will. I have much less trouble with my will today because I understand how this thing works. You know, there's things that I may, from the flesh, struggle some, but I'll tell you, I can immediately submit my will to the will of God. That's my choice. And I've learned, I'm the controller of my will, nobody else. You know, it's sort of like the child, you know, that the parent tells them to sit down and be quiet. And they tell the story of the little kid. He said, yeah, I'm sitting down, but inside I'm standing up. What that child said is, my will is against you. See, it doesn't matter if they were obedient. It doesn't matter if they're quiet. This is why some people wonder why when kids grow up, they say they grow up in a good family, but man, how do they end up so messed up? It's because they might have, you know, as kids sort of listen, but inside their will was always opposing the will of authority. And today, then what happens? They get older, they can't control it anymore. It's all out. We see how willless they are. They yield to sin real easy. They do all that kind of stuff. They follow the flesh. Why? Because they're always in rebellion with their will. They didn't submit on the inside. See, we need to know. See, we have a society today that don't believe in spanking kids. The Bible tells you that's one way to drive the devil out of a kid. Oh, well, we don't do that anymore. The psychiatrist said it hurts their little ego. Yeah, that's why we got these kids running around murdering people, because they hurt little egos, because, you know. We need to understand why there's a purpose in these things. Because our will, see, there's no use trying to play the faith game. And that's what it becomes. It becomes a game rather than a reality of blessing and doing things. If my will is outside the will of God, I don't want to do the will of God. You know, most Christians today, most people, even born again, do not want to do the will of God. I know by how much of Christianity in America comes to churches, whether they go to church anywhere or not. We know that most Christians don't care. They have their own will, and they're not in the will of God. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assemblies of ourselves together. They have their will. I got my thing to do, and I'm going to do it. And they don't care about the will of God. And they wonder why. They'll say, believe God. They send their little, you know, prayer request off to the prayer chain. And the prayer chain Don't even ask them, oh, yes, you know, we just pray for their things. Nobody ever checks out. Nobody ever checks out if the person, what where they're walking at or what they're doing. Like, we're going to pray and get it done anyway. We don't do it. But I just want, you know, these things we today, you know, we need to be talking about these things. We need to look at these things. It's dealing with the areas of our will because it is so powerful. When I was over, especially dealing with the areas of communion, because I said to the Lord, you know, about having communion today. And he spoke to me about the will. And I never heard anybody ever say this or do it concerning taking communion. And he said to me, communion is about lining your will up with God. Are your will really in line with God? See, we're out here in life, you know, and everybody goes through this. You can get over your own plans and your own ideas. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I lived there. Hey, folks, it isn't something that just happens and you get over it. It is easy to get over and get your own ideas and own plans, your own thoughts about things. You know, today you go into church world, and what constitutes being a Christian, almost every church you go to will tell you a different story. And most of them will not tell you what the Bible says, yet most people believe it's biblical. They don't even know what salvation is. They have no clue. They don't know what it is to be a child of God. How can you submit to the will of God when you don't even know what it is? You can't. You can't. You can't submit to it. See, communion's about taking us back to the basic, you know, communion's about Jesus. Is my will submitted to him? It isn't. Understand, Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. I can't submit to him without submitting to the Word. It calls us back. Communion calls us back to the basics of salvation. Is my will submitted? See, we have the fact, when Paul told people, you know, about, you know, make the confession, and we have in the Bible from in Romans 8, it says, you know, that we confess Jesus is Lord, you know, it tells us to believe that Jesus is Lord. In other words, it says the Lord Jesus, but actually, if you take it in original Greek, it's really a proclamation of Jesus as Lord. It's a woman told me one time, I knew her for years and years back, many years ago. She used to come to our church. This goes way back in the beginning. And now this woman came to me one day and made this statement to me. She said, "My life never really changed." She said, "I was saved, it never really changed till I made Jesus Lord." I said, "You never got saved till you made Jesus Lord." You see, she had the whole idea that because she made some kind of confession, that changed it. We need to understand how this thing works. It's no different than salvation. If my will is not submitted to him, my confession means nothing what I said when I prayed. If I planned on just living the same old way that I did, if I plan on heading the same path that I headed on, I can make as many confessions that the Bible says, and it's meaningless and worthless. It's about what my will is submitted to. Once my will is submitted to him, and this is where the thing that the Lord told me this, after I had been born again for a while, because what I began to see this happening, people came to Christ and never followed Christ. And I said, "God, what on earth is going on? What's happening? What's taking place?" And he took me back to the night that I accepted him, and he spoke to me about what I did. And I, you know, I was really not thinking about it, but what I had done, he showed me, I had submitted my will to him. I submitted myself to his lordship. I didn't just pray this nice little prayer. You know, people say, I wasn't in church when I did this. I accepted, I knew what the Bible says about believing Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead. I surely believe that. But I said to the Lord, "Lord, I served the devil. I mean, I was involved in sorcery and all kinds of stuff. I said, I served him. I lived all this junk. I did it. I served him with all my heart. In other words, my will was submitted to Satan and what he wanted to do. That was my will. And I said this to the Lord, "Lord, I set myself, I said this night, I said, I'm going to serve you, whatever you want me to do, whatever you've called me to do. I am going to follow it. I don't care what anybody else says, what anybody else, I'm heading in your direction." Here I am. That was my will submitted to him. Most people have never done anything like that in Christianity, and they wonder why they're having problems. If Jesus ran into a tough spot, now that ain't, you need to understand this. I didn't do that one time back then. Many times down the road when things got hard, I stopped and said, "God,
I want your will. I know what's going on here. I don't like what's going on. I don't want to head this direction. You know what I had to do? When I started this church, God got fed up with me because I would not set my will to do it. I wouldn't set my will to do it. He finally got mad at me. Told me he didn't want me to pray about it one more. He said, "Better you better do it because I told you." And that day I set my will to start the church. That's when I set my will. I said, "Okay, I'm going to do the will. I am going to do the will of God. That's what I'm going to do." Because I don't like the URL stuff. I don't know about you. Too many people like the URLs. They must, because what they do, they must like the URLs. But I just said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the will of God." And we need to do that. Really, that's what the Lord spoke to me about communion. Communion is a time about submitting ourselves to the will of God. You know, you can start to submit yourself to the future will of God that you don't even know. It's by what you say out of your mouth. It's by what you're saying, setting your future. See, I always set my future. You guys always hear me. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to follow God. I talk like that all the time. See, what I do is submitting the will of God. I learned that's how you walk in divine health. You submit yourself to the will of God, your will to His. You start saying, "Well, flu season's coming. I ain't getting the flu. I'm sorry, we ain't having Ebola. I ain't." You may have it if you like. You may get worried and get afraid and all kind of. I'm not having Ebola. I'm submitting my will to God's will. See, you got to learn it. See, Jesus is in the garden. You're facing hard things. See, that's the time when you submit your will. When the road's getting rough, that's when you submit your will. You say, "God, I want your will. I want your will in this thing, not what I want to do out of this thing." I learned from listening to Kenneth E. Hagin praying. We used to go to prayer school. Brother Hagin used to sit down and he would take the word. He'd say, "God, you said in your word this and that." But he said, "Lord, if you would," he would always say this all the time, "Lord, if you want to do something else, you let me know and I'll do whatever you want." He was constantly submitting himself to the will of God. He did it so much that after a while, God tell him what he wanted him to do. He'd just go do it. But see, most people are bucking the system all the time. And they buck it right up to the end till it comes to the time when they're about to go under. Then it's, "Oh, God, help! Oh, God, help! Oh, God, help!" But you can learn to set yourself and to begin to set your will now. I'm going to follow the will of God. I'm going to submit myself to God's will. See, communion, the Lord said to me, is communion's about setting your will with the will of God. You know, "God, I believe you have me called to do, I'm going to do it, but Lord God, if you want to change it, you go right ahead. Jesus, you're Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord." We take communion, we're declaring His lordship over my will. He's declaring lordship over your will. Are we doing that? See, if we're not, these things don't become, it doesn't become any value. We're doing it. We say we believe it's a good thing to do. We believe it's biblical. But it's about my will. Is this just some nice things on here, or is there power in it? There was enough power that if you did it wrong, it'd kill you, because it says so in Corinthians, what happened to them because of their will. Many were weak, sick, and died prematurely. Why? They followed their own will. They didn't follow the will of God. They followed their will. See, your will is so important. It either releases the power of God or it releases the power of the devil. It lets the devil get to carry out his will. This is why, you know, whether we like it or not, man's either on one side or the other. There's no in-betweens. If I'm not submitted to the will of God, then the devil will have access. See, we need to keep ourselves over into the will of God. And that's what we're talking about, they staying within God's will, within God's plan. Look at what, I just want to read you here in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. It says about Jesus. And if Jesus had to do this, then Ed has to do this. Ed's got to do it. It says, "Let this mind," verse 5, "let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now, look at the power of salvation that came because of his obedience. Look at the end results. See, this is one thing, is the submission of will
to God, man's submission to the will of God is the most powerful thing, because it will unleash God's mighty power. Jesus' submission to the plan of God, his submission to his will and not my will. Hey, I don't have to die for the sins of the world, so I can't say it's going to be too hard for me. I don't have to do that one. Thank God! I don't have to do that. But whatever God has called me to do, number one, I don't want to be in a war always. And I watch many people do this. What they're doing is they're in a war of wills. I'm having trouble believing God. The reason they're having trouble believing God is because it's a war of wills. They don't want to do that. That's not the way I want it to work. I don't want it to be that way. I don't want it to be like that. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to have to do that. I found out when I started bringing my will into control, things were much less painful. The most of the pain that most people are putting up with is because of the fighting of their own will. They won't submit and say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. God, what you want me to do is what we're going to do. Well, no matter what it is, I'm going to do your will because your will is the best. My will is not. My will is not the best unless it's lined up with his will. It ain't the best. It's not the best. You learn in your submission of the will of God, this is what's going to happen to you, just like with Kenneth Hagin. Revelation will come to you. There's no need for Christians having revelation from God if we're not going to submit our will to him. Why get revelation? It ain't going to work anyhow. It'd be useless. It works through us submitting ourselves to his will. That's how it does. Then when you believe, then when you say, now you got your believing and your saying and your will. He was like Kenneth Hagin. I mean, his family suffered because he wasn't submitting his will to God. So his family suffered. His family suffered. I see people suffer all the time because they won't submit their will. You know, they want God's good stuff, but they never give their will to God. And see, we start to do that. The most powerful thing you can do, I don't care if you're in a fight over your will and a fight dealing with something, start declaring with your mouth that I love the will of God and I'm going to follow the will of God and what God wants, I'm going to follow. You're not going to talk differently. You're not going to sit down. The Bible tells you that we're supposed to love our brother and somebody done something to you and you just keep running your mouth saying, I'm having a hard time forgiving. You know, the hard time is your will. You won't stop and say, you know, I don't want to forgive them and I got to stop this right now. I'm in sin. I'm worse than they are. I know to do good and I'm not doing it. No, we'll sit and play our little religious games and ask for counseling. What we need to do is get our will in line with the will of God and say, God, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I can yield my will to the love of God. I refuse. I will not hold this against them. I refuse to do it. Will you just get in line right now in the name of Jesus? We're following God. I ain't going to hate them. That's it. No, we'll sit and play our little religious games to try to act like we're trying to do something good when really we haven't done nothing good. See, our will. You submit your will. The power of your will is an incredible, incredible thing. The power of Jesus as a man yielding his will to the Father changed time forever. It changed everything forever. It changed your destiny and my destiny. Hallelujah. Because one man submitted his will. Do you think your will is any less valuable? Do you think your will is any less powerful? He was just became a man. He wasn't operating as God. He was a man just yielding to the will of God. How powerful is your will yielded to God? Oh, I'm going to tell you what. It'll set off an explosion. The explosion can't come. That's one of the things God's been dealing with in this last day. It's getting the church back into his will again. Most Christians don't want to be in it. The bomb ain't going off. The explosion won't happen till people yield their wills. Man, God, you can have my will. I know what I've done with my will through time. God, the wonderful things is declared in your book for your plans and purposes in this age. Lord God, I want to be in your will because I want them to come to pass. I want the fulfillment of the promises. I want them, not just Ed Gibson gets some good stuff. Man, The world needs more than a few bucks. The world needs more out here today. But I believe we can set the bomb off if we begin to submit ourselves. I want to tell you what, I believe revelation will flow to the church like a river when we set our will. I believe that's one of the big keys that has been in my Christian walk. It has not been that I've done everything right or said everything right, but I have always declared God's will was right, and if my will was wrong, I fessed up to it and say it was wrong. And God's will is right, and I must submit to it, and it's right, and I must joyfully set myself to it. God, I will do it, and I want to do it. I want to do your will. I want to accomplish. I want your will done, not mine. See, that's why, you know, I was talking, I said about praying concerning our election. Our election's coming up. We want God's will. I've had enough of what man's done. I've had enough of it. I know this. We don't see things straight. And it is, you know, we might get, but I believe we won't get revelation until we say, and say, God, we need your help in this election and not just an election. I don't want men voted in office just because we got a lousy president. We've done that and just got lousy guys come into office after them. Well, whose fault's that? Why? Because we had our idea. I'd say, God, what is your will in this election? What do you want? Lord, I might can't think the guy's completely crazy, but Lord, if it's your will for this individual to be in office, Lord, I'm going to submit myself to your will, and I am going to like it. See, back when President Clinton was president, and back in his second term, I had been praying, and I'd been, you know, praying for the president, and I'd pray for the president, but the scriptures tell us to. But I said to the Lord about things not changing, and he spoke to me, and here's the thing dealing with an individual's will. I was praying. I was doing what the word said. I am practicing. And God called me on it. And from a standpoint, I believe, but this is what he said. He said, you don't believe what the word says. Well, that, you know, sort of, well, I do believe what the word says. But what it was, he said to me, I said, because I talked to him about why things aren't changing, why we're in the mess that we're in, why at that time I thought it was terrible because there was Congress and the presidency, nobody got along with each other and everybody's fighting all the time. And I said, why all this confusion? He told me one thing about it. He said, I'm judging the God of America. I'm judging the government. He told me that. But he said this to me. He said, well, nothing's going to change with it. He said, you don't believe in what you're praying for anyhow. He said, you go look at what the man does. But see, what I was doing, and I went back the whole thing, was about my will. I didn't like him. And I let my thoughts about him and how I felt about him control my will. And my will was not submitted to what I was praying. I was mouthing scriptural prayers, doing nothing. The Lord told me my prayers didn't amount to anything. You weren't doing nothing. And I was like, oh my God. And you know what I did? I didn't take, you know, 15 weeks to get straightened out. I did right there. I said, Lord, I'm submitting to you right now on this thing. I said, I'm praying for him. I like it. I said, I'm not gonna turn around and hate this man at all. I said, I don't like what he does, and I don't have to like what he does. But he's a man who needs saved. The scriptures that I read before in the beginning, dealing with the area, praying for your leaders, and that's where it came out, the things, God wants everybody saved. God wants our president saved. God don't like what he does. He don't like the things going on. But God does not hate him. And I won't tell you, too many Christians are praying out of hatred and everything else, and all, they don't care if he dies and goes to hell tomorrow. And that's why nothing changes in America, because the church has the wrong will. God, give me something good so I can be blessed, and if you don't give me what I think I want, I hate it. And I don't like this guy. Number one, him getting born again is more important than Ed getting what he wants. And it's more important than you getting what you want. We got our priorities messed up because our will's messed up. Our will's not in line with God. God came to save man, not governments. The most important thing, and see, I believe this. I believe that's why we haven't had the power. But why we haven't, God hasn't been able to release what he wants to release to change things in government because of the will of the church. The will of the church. The will of the church is in extremes of so much stuff of either side of the road, but it comes down to it. Our president needs saving. He's on his way to hell. Now I say, but who are you to judge? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you think he's a Christian, then I'll guarantee you, you're not. I'll guarantee it. If you don't know any better than that, shame on you. He's not a Christian. We can tell by what he does. Jesus said, you know them by their fruits. You know them by what they produce. Let's get real, people. Have some sense. But I'm going to tell you, I want that man saved. I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to go to hell because Ed's mad at him. Ed don't like what he did. He don't like it. Ed's mad. He's mad. I don't want to go. I don't. See, you know, we're going to face Jesus about this stuff. One day he's going to talk to us about these things. He's going to say, I don't want to. I don't want to have the dynamite go off when I get there. I don't want the explosion there. I want it here. I want it here where it'll do some good, blow up out of here. And I'm just encouraging. See, this is not, I'm not saying these things trying to be critical of anybody, but I'm just telling you, we need to wake up in these areas about our own will and examine our will. God, am I really in line with your will? Do I really want to be in your will? Do I really want what I walk around and say about it? Is my heart really in line with this thing? Do I really say, yes, Lord, this is what I want? See, we have to decide. See, I want my will submitted to God. And now the Lord never, no one had ever heard of any preach concerning your will in communion. And I thought that was really good because the Lord said, you know, use communion as a time to set your will to the will of God. God, I want to do your will. I want to follow your will. Lord, what do you want? It's not what I want. You know, it isn't always easy to set your will. Can you imagine Jesus Christ? He never sinned. He struggled at setting his will in the garden. He struggled at the will. You'll struggle at this will thing at times. At times, because times some things, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. You know how many times the Lord has told me over the years, go speak to this person and tell them this or that. Man, you know how many times I have not wanted to do that. Oh, my God. God, they ain't going to listen to me. Go, go, go. You know what? God knew they weren't going to listen. But when they're going to stand before God one day and they're going to know, they were told. They were told. See, people today don't want to be, I don't want to do that. Well, who's going to do it? Who's going to stop and tell the truth? God didn't have me go tell people because he didn't like them. He's warning them because of what's coming. And see, if they didn't change, things happen to people. Lord, let me go tell people what's going to happen if they stayed on the course they were on. They refused, and it happened just like I said. Just like it. It happened. Well, see, God didn't do that because he's mad at him. He's trying to warn him. You're heading on a road somewhere. But their will was set in a different direction. Their will was in, no, we ain't listening to that. You don't know what you're talking about. Hell no. Who are you? Well, whatever. And so God is moving, and I just encourage us. It isn't, our job isn't running around trying to straighten everybody else out. Number one, let's get me straight. See, if we look at ourselves and sit down and say, my will, God, am I submitted? Do I really want your will in this world? What's important on my agenda? What's important on my agenda? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever sit down and just think, what is important to me in life? We know that people don't. We have one of the largest churches in America. The pastor's wife said this publicly about doing things. She said, it's not what about makes God happy. It's what about makes us happy. It's one of the largest churches in America. It's got 20-some thousand people in it. She's sitting around standing up saying these things. Oh, and loads of people watch them on TV and they, oh, yes, and oh, this is all wonderful. It ain't wonderful. There's nothing wonderful about it. Self-willed people telling everybody else to be self-willed. You know, where are we headed to? And this is why, you know, God's talked to us because the majority of the voices in the church are talking like that today. You know, the number one thing that Ed, you know, isn't just about money or anything like that. Hey, money's good to have. It's a wonderful tool. But, man, if I'm not going to do the will of God, who cares? They give me money, I won't. You understand? It isn't about me getting my next meal. You know, I'm totally convinced of this. If I'm not going to do the will of God, Ed needs to die and leave the earth. What's the point of being here? Is this just about just staying here physically alive on this earth? Is that the best we can offer? If I'm not going to do the will of God, it doesn't matter why Ed's here. It doesn't matter why I'm living this life. The world's better off without me. They don't need another person not doing the will of God. We got enough of them. Folks, what's the value of life? I mean, what is life about? We've lost these values of what's important. Of what's important. The number one thing that the most importance for my life is me doing the will of God while I'm here. It's number one. Number one. That's the number one importance. Because it ties to all that God wants to do through me. I ain't going to set nothing on fire down here. I ain't going to blow anything up with God's power if I'm not aligned with His will. It's not going to happen. So what's the point? Just have, be religious. We're not going there. Let's stand to our feet. We're having communion here today. Now let's set ourselves.